Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at Eastern Mennonite University, and want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. We are getting a little bit out of sequence in terms of trying to have something ready each Friday for you. So I believe we're going to post this one a little bit either late or early, depending upon how you look at it. We are recording this on Tuesday, and we'll be posted, and then we'll do hopefully be able to record something again this coming week at the end of the week when James is back with us. I'm going to recap just a little bit of the recent basketball. Hopefully you've been watching the scores or the live broadcast, either the live stats or the video stream, and you can catch up on that. The men's basketball team has started off in a very good note. They're now 4-0. From an inside perspective, they're still trying to gel and figure things out. If you have been able to watch any of the games, or if you've looked at stats in a deeper way, you'll find out that a lot of guys are getting a lot of minutes. Coach Dean plays a lot of players and has good rotations, and that can create some nuances that they need to get used to in terms of who's playing with whom and what position they're playing. There's a pretty standard rotation that he goes through, running around 10 or 11 deep, but there's always that thing that you've got to be ready immediately when you jump on the floor. And with the up and down style, that's having people spend as hard energy as they can for a short amount of time and then coming back out. If you haven't checked it out yet, this week, Andrew Thorne, forward for the Royals, was named the Player of the Week in men's basketball in the ODAC. Nice article on the website on emuroyals.com, as well as the ODAC website as well. So they are getting settled in. They have a very tough week coming up, and that is the fact that they go down to Guilford on Wednesday. That's tomorrow. They head down to Guilford, who has been picked several notches above them, and that's always a tough place to travel to and play. So we'll see how they do, but they are off to a good start. Women's basketball stands at 1-2. They have put together a very difficult pre-conference schedule. All of the teams that they have been playing so far appeared in the NCAA tournament last year, and then they will enter into what's considered to be an unbalanced schedule in the ODAC now that there are 12 teams in there, and they will not be playing everybody twice. So some years they'll play one school once and another school twice, and it just so happens that they get some of the top teams that they will have to play twice. They also open up conference play tomorrow on Wednesday down at Guilford. So they are going to have a tough schedule, and they are going to have to learn very quickly how to handle the adversity of that. But they are learning again to play with the new players and getting settled into their patterns. And so we invite you to take a look at either the live stats or the video stream. I should mention that many of the men's basketball games at home will be, the stream will be coming from actually a professional video company that will be doing some of the games. So if you've seen a difference between that, the men's basketball program is paying a little additional money to have a professional come in and tape their games, and we hook into that, and that's an effort to make their highlight reel and their recruiting videos in the future. So if you notice a difference in the quality, you'll understand that. I know, for instance, when the men's basketball plays, they do have the score down at the bottom of the screen. And that may not always be true. Either way, you'll always get the play-by-play in the audio that's there. So basketball is in full swing. It will lighten up a little bit here as we enter into the final exam weeks and then Christmas break, and then hit it hard again in January. So stay up to date with everything that you can on emuroyals.com. Today, my guest today is Sue Kolb. She is the women's soccer coach as well as the assistant athletic director for student-athlete well-being. And we mentioned this a couple of times last year, I believe, about some of the work that she was doing in terms of tracking attendance and trying to get an early jump on kids who are struggling academically. We've talked many times on this broadcast about how difficult the adjustment is, both from a playing standpoint as well as an academic standpoint, from high school to college. And one of the things that we've really been working hard at is the retention rate. And Sue has done a great job of tracking that last year. We're working together with the dean's office this year, and things are changed a little bit, but we're continuing to work at that. So we're going to talk just a little bit about some of the things that she found, some of the things that were successes, some of the she's also doing, I should mention, she's also working on her doctorate degree, and some of that study she's incorporating into what we're doing here in trying to make sure that our student-athletes maintain their eligibility and graduate as well. So welcome to the program, Sue. And I guess the first question I would ask is just sort of a maybe give an overview or recap of what you were able to accomplish. I know you don't have all the – we don't need to hear all of the statistics about how they did, but refresh our memory again of some of the things that you did last year specifically. And again, the reason I'm going back to last year is because, as we'll find out in just a minute, we feel like it did – increase our retention rate. So we're working with a lot of these same students again this year. So just recap a little bit about some of the things that you did specifically last year in order to try in trying to get a handle on the academic progress of our student athletes.
Well, one of the biggest things that I think I tracked was attendance last year for student athletes. Attendance has been certainly a key factor for retention and academic success. So after a student missed more than two classes, I would meet with them and we would go over reasons that they would be missing and, you know, see if something was going on that we maybe needed to tackle before it got into a serious problem. And then there was consequences after a third miss where we would start cutting down on their playing time, well, at least practices, and they'd have to sit out games. And we just took that very, very seriously. We tried to be proactive about it just to, you know, kind of nip it in the bud before it actually got to a problem where, you know, they would start, I don't know, struggling in a class. So attendance was my biggest, thing that I focused on last year. And that's something that we certainly continued into this year, just going forward with that.
What did you, generally speaking, what did you find in terms of, or besides the fact that you were tracking it and then there would be penalties for it as well, it seemed to me as I sat next to a couple office doors down, it seemed like you had a lot of interaction with student athletes. Was that a result of this attendance thing? And how did that shape out in terms of your ability to relate to them?
No, it was great having more interaction with student athletes on an earlier basis. If they were missing a class, I probably had 50% of the athletes come into my office last year just because, not that they were struggling in class, just they had missed one or two for various reasons. And having that interaction with them, I was able to kind of instill our expectations in the athletic department and just kind of speaking broadly from coaches and what we expect from our student athletes from an academic side. And that interaction, I think, was really important that they kind of had some ownership kind of going forward with what they wanted to get out of the academic side and what we wanted them to get out of the academic side. And, you know, creating that relationship with them was, I think, really positive just to kind of get off on the right foot.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we did, I reported on here earlier, was the fact that we actually did have a higher retention rate mm-hmm. in athletes from freshman to sophomore year last year to this year than the average of the student body. I believe that's correct. And
that's
you
right.
want to make a comment about how you think that developed.
Yeah, I think, and don't quote me, I think we were about 3% higher than non-student athletes in retention last year. And I just think that having that interaction with the experience and opportunity that they have with athletics and mixing the two together, having strong academics and mixing with a positive athletic experience, I think that is a key for success in the classroom, on the court, and in retention, which are all three things mm-hmm. that we want.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some people around in most academic communities who would say, come on, these are college kids. Why are we needing to take attendance? And I still remember the very first time I made that announcement to all the student athletes, there were a couple who said, oh, that's just high school. Yeah. And so even some of them had that approach. And certainly there's going to be some people in higher academics that are going to say, hey, wait a minute, these are college kids. Well, how long are we going to hold their hand? Why are we doing this? They're paying the freight. If they want to come to class, they can come to class. What's your response to, or, you know, have we had a lot of pushback here, or how have we balanced that a little bit? And what would you say to those who feel like maybe we're coddling student athletes in this case, more special than other people?
Well, every coach has to make sure that their player is doing well. And you know, we have student athletes that come from a variety of backgrounds, some strong academic backgrounds, some not. And I think it's the coach's responsibility and my responsibility to make sure that they're successful. I think we've had a pretty good response from faculty and staff to help us out along this process. And I think our faculty see what we're trying to do, and they certainly want our athletes to make it just like every other student here. But, you know, having such a variety of backgrounds of students from the academics, coming from different curriculums, coming from different areas, it's very, very different. And, you know, this is the first time that the student athletes are away from home. They don't have mom or dad to wake them up in the morning. And this is just, you know, sometimes we have to go above and beyond to make sure they're doing the right thing. They have extra responsibilities. They have late practices. They get in, you know, in all hours of the morning when they have, you know, late games. And sometimes they don't make the best decisions. But having a penalty or a consequence on their attendance has really enforced what we're trying to do. And it proved last year that students that missed 0 to 2 classes had an average of around a 3.4 GPA compared to those who missed 4 or more classes, which averaged around a 2.6 GPA. So attendance certainly did indicate that students would do better if they attended class.
Well, and while we don't have a long history of this, we only have the 1 year to go, we would certainly like to think that your work and the work of everybody together did result in the retention rate that's increased. We can't say that over history, but we did it, you know, at least this particular time. It was interesting. We've just in the process of having the fall student athletes from this fall send in their essays, recapping their experience, asking them what they've learned about themselves, what they've learned about other people around them as a way of them getting their credit for PE. And interestingly enough, as I've been reading them, there are so many of them that talk about the structure of the sport helped them with the rest of their life. And most of these were freshmen. Is that something that we need to carry? Do you think that's part of the success of this watching the academics closer, because the sport does give them structure with required practices, workout sessions, all of that, travel and everything else. And then we get here and the academics are kind of, the structure is gone. Is it structure that you found? What is it? What are some of the keys besides just following up and putting a thumb in their back and saying, you got to get to class? Is there something fundamental about the way we're going about watching them that you think does help them improve?
I would say that having them know that we're watching it and their coach is watching it. We have a very close relationship with our student athletes, and just, I know from my student athletes or my team, they know that they don't want to disappoint me, and they know that I'm going to be very upset if a professor calls me and says they haven't been in class for so long. I think the structure that we give them, the time management that we give them for the athletic side, it doesn't necessarily transpire into the academics, because there's not a hallway anymore. There's not, you know, it's not in one building anymore. They can go back to their room in the middle of classes. And so, yeah, the structure that we provide them with the consequences and following up on them and having the regular meetings and having the continuous interaction with them, I think is the support, is the structure that they do need. And, you know, I don't know if it's just student athletes, but it certainly does seem to work for ours.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other things that we did sort of find was, again, as you've mentioned, we've been able to stay in touch with them over what's going on. They've been able to understand that structure. What are some of the supports that you led them to then? In other words, what are some of the support structures that are in place that once we find this out, and yes, we talked about the penalties for attendance, but once we realize that they are struggling in class, what were your steps that were involved in helping them with their academic work? If it was someone who's going to class but still really struggling with a piece of the academic, where did you send them to? How did you provide, or how did we as a staff provide academic help?
Our academic support staff here at EMU is phenomenal. We do a wonderful job of making tutoring available online and available in the library at all hours. So if there was someone that was just their ability was not where it needed to be in a class, I sent them to tutoring, and we focused on it. We met on a biweekly basis. So tutoring certainly was my next step if someone was struggling. Certainly, I looked at their attendance to see if that was an indicator. If not, then to see if they just weren't getting it, you know. And then we actually talked about, okay, are you sitting in the front of the class? Are you taking notes? Are you asking the professor questions? You know, are you speaking to the professor afterwards? Have you asked the professor what, you know, you need to do? So those simple things sometimes, you know, sometimes I get away with things in high school that they don't necessarily need, or they don't have the tools to come to college with what they should. And so just kind of having a very personal conversation with them and trying to figure that out was another step that we took. Some coaches have study halls. Those seem to be pretty successful for those teams that need it. You know, but overall, I really believe that one of our goals that will be reached, I believe, is that our overall average GPA of our student athletes will improve. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that.
Well, there certainly are ways in which we're trying to work together. Jason Good has been appointed as the director of retention for the university. I think it's safe to say that more and more faculty are understanding that maybe the kids coming into college today are not quite the way they were 10 or 15 or 20 or 50 years ago. I don't know. And how technology, we haven't even got into that discussion about how technology prepares them or doesn't prepare them, how we communicate with them back and forth, all of those types of things. And I think faculty begin to understand that some of these things are necessary to help them make the adjustments. I had a faculty member ask me the other day after a meeting, he said, so how long do we have to hold their hand? And my response has always been at least the middle of the sophomore year for some. And that is simply because they have to own this place. They have to own college. They have to own their team. They have to recognize that we're serious about what we're doing. And I think that we're all in the higher education realm beginning to understand that it is going to take a genuine effort on a lot of people from a lot of different angles to help kids learn responsibility in ways that we would like them to learn so that they're ready to go beyond that. So we continue to work together. They're making some changes in the way they're doing it. We went to an early graded experience. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. You're doing a Bridging the Gap class for all freshman athletes. We're going to continue that again. And so I think we're beginning to understand it. I certainly want to commend you for the way in which you piloted the program have been vigilant about trying to involve the faculty and the student athletes in this thing together to do that, and certainly appreciate the report we have now. We'll probably check on it again at the end of the season, at the end of the school year, perhaps. So once again, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast this week. We look forward to talking with you again in a little bit. In the meantime, make sure you're checking out some of the special features that we have on the webpage. There's another feature up on Allie Eanes, a cross country runner, just went up today. Andrew Thorne is featured as a player of the week, and we'll continue to throw things up there for you to stay connected to EMU athletics. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you have had a wonderful Thanksgiving and are now in preparation for Christmas, and we will be back in touch with you in just about a week. Thanks very much for joining us. Until we talk again, I invite you to make it a great week.